Good morning once again. So I'm glad to see each and every one this morning for worship services. And as the title there on the chart says, we're going to talk about a prayer for wisdom. And 1 Kings chapter 3 is where we'll be looking at. 1 Kings chapter 3, so if you will, turn with me there. And we'll be reading verses 3 through 15 in just a moment. But this morning, I would like for us to at least briefly consider what our answer would be if God personally told us that we could have absolutely anything. In other words, if God were to give us a blank check, what would we write it out for? What would we ask for? Now, I realize that for some people, that could actually be a paralyzing question. Kind of like the great buffet. You just don't know exactly what to choose first. There are so many things that we can ask for that sometimes it is difficult to ask for what is truly good. James actually addressed this in James chapter 4. And there are times when some of us may ask for what is wrong, because as James said, it is so tempting for us to approach God with selfish or improper motives. But this morning, as we think about the challenge of filling out a blank check from God, I would like for us to consider an amazing example of wisdom. And not only of wisdom, but also of restraint. We're going to be looking at a scene from the life of King Solomon in the Old Testament, there in 1 Kings chapter 3. And I would like for us to consider how Solomon got his wisdom. And then, next Sunday morning, Lord's willing, we'll continue this in considering one of the most famous examples of King Solomon's wisdom. But as we turn over there to 1 Kings chapter 3, God, the creator of the universe, appears to King Solomon in a dream and personally invites him to ask for absolutely anything. Now most of us, once again, can hardly imagine this, at least with our own earthly parents. Most of us had some limits. Most of us had to be a little creative to try to get our parents to get what we wanted. And we all have our own stories. We all know it. There's no reason to deny it. Perhaps we might have went to mom and she would say, if it's okay with your dad, then I'm okay with it. Who has not heard that answer in their lifetime? Thank you. And then we went to dad and would ask him. You know what he would say? If it's okay with your mother, then I'm fine with it. Not much running back and forth you have to go to find one of them breaks. It's a communication problem, obviously, at some point or another. And so maybe we said, yep, mom said it was fine with her. We go ahead and just put it out there. Several years ago, I took a class of sociology. It was not the funnest class in the world for me, but I passed with a D. I'll go ahead and throw that out there too. I learned about the results of a recent study, at that time, where researchers found that most people are more likely to say yes to a request if you nod your head affirmatively while you ask the question. Have you ever done that? Looking at your parent going, can I have a cookie before dinner? And you know, I don't know if y'all have done that, but you know, sociology has taught me a lot. And it is true. It is true. It does work. But of course, most parents want to do what's right for their children. And most parents want to be able to say yes to various requests. But there are times when not able to say yes. But in contrast, we're about to find in 1 Kings chapter 3 that God approaches Solomon, and in a dream, God invites Solomon to once again ask for absolutely anything. Solomon then did not need to nod his head, but the Lord is actually found to having moved first. And the Lord gave him that blank check that we mentioned. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, let's look at a few verses there, verses 3 through 15. As Solomon first takes over as king, this is our setting. He takes over as king after the death of David his father. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verses 3 through 15. Notice there. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and said, God said, ask what you wish to give you. Ask what you wish me to give you. Then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness, in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Verse 8, your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11, God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all of your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Verse 15, then Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and made peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. As you think back over those verses, verses 3 through 15, and as we think about Solomon's answer to God's invitation, as we think about the content of our own prayers on an individual basis, I would invite all of us to consider what it was that allowed King Solomon to make such a wise decision in asking for more wisdom. In other words, what are some qualities King Solomon had that we can try to follow in our lives today? And as we consider that question, I would suggest several basic, very basic ideas of that. So 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3, we revisit again from our reading. First of all, I would simply point out what the Bible points out in that verse, verse 3. Now Solomon loved the Lord. Once again, very basic things here. And certainly this actually needs to be the basis of any request that we ever make of God. Because before we approach God in prayer, we must love God. In fact, this basic idea is first stated in the law of Moses in the days of Deuteronomy, and is repeated for us by the Lord himself in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37 talks about the first and great commandment with promise. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, he said. You may remember that when Jesus silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together and set up one of their own lawyers to challenge the Lord with a question. He asked, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And we actually don't know what they expected the Lord to say to that question. But we know that the question was a trap, and yet once again in verse 37, he answered it so perfectly. He responded to the attorney saying what I quoted there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. with all of your being, he's saying. And with that, the Lord had turned the tables on the Pharisees. And by the end of the chapter, the Bible says that no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question in verse 46 of Matthew 22. In other words, it is very hard to argue with a command that we are to love the Lord, because it is one of the most basic ideas anywhere in the Bible. And here we find in 1 Kings chapter 3, King Solomon loved the Lord, the greatest commandment. And as we look at this passage then, I would suggest that this remains one of the great quote-unquote secrets in approaching God in prayer, as we should. Because above all, we are to love the Lord. Once again, very basic. Very basic. And so, as we get this in a proper perspective here, what Solomon's focus and his perspective, where his heart was, his desire, loving the Lord. There's a second basic concept in this passage. I would say a second factor in Solomon's life that allowed him to make such a wise decision. Solomon allowed himself to be influenced by the godly example of his father, King David. In verse 3, we find that King Solomon was walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. You know, first of all, we notice that Solomon followed David's good example. We know from the scriptures that David had been loyal to God, that David was a man after God's own heart, that even that of Acts tells us. In fact, for further encouragement, we can look back to the previous chapter. And we find that King David gave his son Solomon a solemn charge right before he died. If you notice there in 1 Kings chapter 2, if we back up just a chapter, and you notice there in verses 1 through 3, David gives instructions to Solomon here, his son. And he says in verse 1 down through verse 3, he said, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn." For many of us, we can also look to our own earthly fathers, the example that has been left. And like Solomon, we can also say that our fathers have left a legacy of faith and honor. For many of us, parents have given us advice similar to the advice that David gave to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. And so the question for us this morning, are we molding our lives according to the pattern that our parents left for us? If our parents were good and upright, then hopefully the answer is in the affirmative, that it is yes. And hopefully we can pass on a legacy of our own. We learn from this passage that we can have a tremendous influence, because that's really the design. We are influential people. I remember wanting to be just like my dad. I look at him today and I'm thinking, I really don't want to be like him. Physically. Features. I'm just joking on that one. I hope you don't hear this recording. I pick with him a lot about it. But we think about it. We think about what kind of qualities that are passed down from one generation to the other. And we look back to the Old Testament and say, what kind of things were they grasping at? What kind of roads were they taking? Who were they following? there was many that followed patterns, and it would continue. But then you have those kings that had a bad father, but they turned out good. We talk about the free moral agency of man, that we can do whatever we want to do, whatever our heart's desire is. And that was the same thing for David, the same thing for Solomon. Influencing for the better, not for the worse. The qualities of character that we pass on from one to the other. Being taught to love and respect the Word of God. Teaching to love the Lord. To put God's kingdom first, as Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Teaching that the Lord comes before the physical things of this life. We sing the songs all the time. Just the one before the lesson, Nathan had led, "I want to know more about my Lord." Do we really want to know more about my Lord before that day comes when I'll meet Him face to face? Am I constantly grasping for more knowledge of the Word of God than that of what man can give? A legacy that will continue long after we depart from this earth. But while on the subject, we obviously need to point out a danger here. The Bible also says that King Solomon was walking the statutes of his father David, except. Solomon was good. We know this from the scriptures. But was he perfect? Absolutely not. He loved God, but he allowed himself to be influenced by the world around him. He allowed this. Once again, the free moral agency of man. He loved God, but he actually compromised his faith. Maybe just a little bit here and there, but it actually grew over time. We did not read it at the beginning of the lesson, but up in verse 1 of chapter 3, verse 1 of chapter 3, going back there. "Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem." I think that's an interesting verse there. Solomon formed a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he took Pharaoh's daughter. And that's really it, right there. Solomon might have loved God, but he actually was one that started drifting. He started taking foreign wives, something that the Word of the God had warned about. And of course, based merely on human reasoning, a marriage alliance with Pharaoh might have seemed like a pretty good idea at the time. After all, at that point in history, no king wanted to become enemies, to be enemies with Egypt. And yet we find that over time, Solomon actually kept on slipping. It didn't stop there. And in fact, you turn over to a few chapters to 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. And we find that Solomon's apostasy actually grew much worse over time. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 11, and notice there in verses 1 through 4. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 of that. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, 'You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart,'" where? "Away after their gods. Solomon held fast," it says, "to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned" what? "His heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David his father had been." You see, right there, At the beginning of his reign, Solomon followed the example of his father. But over time, he slipped and he eventually failed to follow David's example at all. There's an obvious lesson here concerning who we choose to marry, obviously. Parents teach us well. It may leave us a great example, but as teens and young adults coming closer to making a decision regarding who we will marry, we would encourage to remember that what happened to King Solomon. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, we are not to put ourselves in a situation that we allow ourselves to be dragged along by the neck, as some would say. But in the same way, Paul gives a warning that we are not to put ourselves in that same situation. Nevertheless, back in 1 Kings chapter 3, one positive lesson that we can learn is that Solomon knew enough to ask God for what? Wisdom. Because, first of all, he loved the Lord. And second of all, he followed in the footsteps of his father, even if he did allow himself to drift over time. There's a third and basic concept, again, for us to consider from Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings chapter 3. And that is, Solomon managed to ask for wisdom, and God answered that prayer because of this: Solomon's great humility. It starts in verse 4, is where you find it. As we find that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings to whom? God. In other words, although he was a king, Solomon very clearly understood who was really in charge. But we really start to see Solomon's humility in the prayer that he offers, because we find in verse 6, for example, how Solomon acknowledged that he is king only because what? God made him king. God allowed that to happen. We remember that Solomon being king was not a foregone conclusion. Remember, was David the son of Saul? No. David was not the son of Saul, the first king. But instead, you remember that God made David king. The kingship was not necessarily passed down from father to son in that instance. In fact, even if it were, Solomon was not the oldest son. Solomon was not a military leader. The choice of Solomon did not really make any sense from an earthly standpoint. But it was all God's doing. Verses 6 and 7, Solomon acknowledges this. Solomon's great humility also comes through in the middle of verse 7, as Solomon refers to himself as God's servant. I believe that that is something that's amazing, that the king of such a powerful nation would actually refer to himself in such a way. A servant. And then on top of this, we find in the last part of verse 7 that King Solomon says in his prayer to God, "I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." Solomon, in verse 7, was actually expressing his complete dependence on God. Something else that indicates Solomon's great humility is this fact, that Solomon made a request that would benefit others instead of asking for something for his own good. And God brings that out to him. Instead of asking for riches or fame or power or for long life, vitality, or for death of his enemies, King Solomon asked for wisdom so that he would be able to rule God's kingdom well. Notice that several times throughout this prayer, Solomon refers to God's people, not his people. He's showing ownership. These belong to God, not me. Solomon knew that he was not the supreme power in this situation. And so we find that Solomon approached God with great humility. And certainly, this is an attitude that we need to express to God. more often in our prayers, taking our concerns to God, admitting that whatever situation we are facing is beyond our ability to control and handle it. And so instead of telling God what to do, Solomon's example reminds us to admit that we do not have all the answers. To admit that we are God's children. And to admit that God knows what is best for us. One reflects on his childhood in a story. As a child growing up, he remembered his dad buying him his very first cassette tape. And this was a big deal for him. Stuff like that was a luxury. We've got CDs now, obviously, and everything else. MP3 players, but this was something very special to him. He knew that they couldn't afford that tape. That was something that was given to him. He was very excited about it. And he played it over and over and over and over again. Until after several weeks, the tape suddenly broke. And the boy was devastated. He was too nervous to tell his dad about what had happened. He didn't want to bother him with this, so instead he took the cassette tape apart and actually tied that tape in a little knot. You see, he knew what he was doing. At least he thought. He knew he could fix that thing. But you want to know what happened? He put the cassette in the player, and then it went really bad. We might have done something of the same. The whole thing got tangled up when the knot tried to go through all the wheels and the rollers. Well, the little boy finally admitted defeat. And he took the whole mess to his dad. And to his surprise, his dad was not mad at all. But he taught his son how to splice a tape. The boy had learned something that day. He learned how to splice, but more importantly, he learned that his dad knew more than he did. And in a similar way, sometimes we need to remind ourselves that God knows more than we do. That we are servants of the one true King, that we are God's children. It reminds me of the verse of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. When he said, God through Isaiah said, even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. Solomon took his concerns to God with humility. And whether we are teaching a Bible class for the first time, or whether we are facing challenges, or whether we are unsure which way to go as we are making a life-changing decision, we can also go to God in prayer with humility. This morning, I hope that we have been able to learn something from King Solomon's example. We have learned that King Solomon was basically given a blank check from God to fill it out. He was standing there in front of what I said earlier, the great buffet. Make your choices. He could have asked for anything. Anything. And as you think about your own individual life, and as we ask ourselves, what would I have asked for in his particular situation of 1 Kings chapter 3? However, we find that Solomon, based on his love for God, based on the godly influence of King David, his father, and based on the fact that King Solomon was humble to begin with, King Solomon asked God for wisdom. We may be amazed that God would make such an open-ended offer. And yet, when we read the New Testament, we find that offer basically repeated. Do you know that? Because in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." A similar statement is also made in James chapter 1 and verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Like King Solomon, we can also ask God for wisdom. The question is that what we really want? Is that our focus? Is that our perspective upon this earth? This morning we have studied King Solomon's prayer for wisdom. Lord willing, we can come together again next Sunday morning, in which we're going to go on a little bit in this chapter to study one of the most famous examples of King Solomon's wisdom, as we continue to learn from this great hero of the Old Testament. The most important appeal, as you get your psalm books ready at this time, that we can ever make of God is the appeal that we make through the act of baptism, that we have put on Christ in baptism, having put away the old man of sin to rise and walk in newness of life, confessing his name. That shows a true, wise, and noble person. Accepting Christ with great humility, showing our love and our devotion to him. Do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind? As Christians today, do we continue to seek out that wisdom? Do we continue to ask to discern that which is good and evil as we look to his words, as we pray to God? As it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. My friends, if we're subject in any way, any of this song of encouragement, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?